Welcome, everybody. Happy Tuesday afternoon. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I've got a fine co-host with me for this first hour of the program. Her name is Angela Block, Executive Director of, Angela Lang, Executive Director.
I was going to say the same thing, basically.
Right? Like, that's how you're known. Angela Block of Block, Black Leaders Organizing Communities. We've got a great guest with her, with us for this next half hour. Her name is Heather Dubois-Bournon. She is with the Wisconsin Public Education Network. Are you concerned with the health and results of public education in your neighborhood? Got a question for Heather, Angela, or I? Now is your chance. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Heather, thank you so much for making time. It is the time right now to be talking about Wisconsin's biennial budget and what's going to happen with public education. Can you help our listeners get the historical record straight here? Because boy, have there been conflicting messages. Well, I'm just gonna say, from basically Robin Voss telling people, oh, education funding's fine, no worries, when the reality is that school district after school district after school district has had to turn to referenda to try to just keep up with the expanding and increasing costs of providing public education, whether it's a large urban school district or a smaller rural one. Tell us, what's the accurate history here, Heather?
Yeah, 100%. First of all, thanks for having me. Great to see you both. But yeah, I feel like we are in a moment of historic garbage in terms of the rhetoric that is floating around there about what we are and aren't doing in our public schools. And well, first of all, I'll start with our public schools have a lot of challenges right now and things that we want to be able to fully address and fairly address, and all of the distractions that we're getting from a state legislature that's throwing, you know, nonsense policy that nobody asked for at us left and right, on top of a historic refusal to fund for the needs of our kids, has just brought our schools to the breaking point. You don't have to go to referenda in record numbers when the state is doing its job and meeting the needs of its kids. If we were doing right by our children, we wouldn't have to vote to raise taxes on ourselves every couple of months or every chance we can get. And they wouldn't be pushing bills forward that try to make it harder and harder for us to do that. And so people who haven't been paying attention to public education finance because it's so boring or because, you know, your kids are grown or whatever your reasons, should really turn a side eye that way, because there are a lot of shenanigans going around. None of it makes any sense. Very little of it has to do with what our kids or communities need. And there is a whole lot of dark politics going on behind the scenes that we should be paying attention to right now.
So speaking of like the dark politics behind the scenes, how do you think like the, you know, banning of books, CRT, the all that type of, oh, we need to get LGBT flags out of schools. How do you think that that plays into a broader narrative of public education and public schools?
Yeah, this is one of the oldest tricks in the books. Create the seeds for distrust and disrespect for our public institutions, for our public educators. Make people wonder what's really going on. Feed into people's thoughts that, you know, my public school is okay, but like public schools in general are really not doing that great. And you can open the door for lots of policy that really is out of alignment with meeting the actual needs. And so I think they're really capitalizing in one sense in a really kind of unscrupulous way on this, like just, you know, kind of how you trick people into thinking something is broken when it's actually not, which is not to say that our public schools don't have many things that need attention, but like, it's not the things that we're talking about right now. It's our problem isn't that we're teaching kids the wrong things. Our problems are that we don't have enough resources in our classrooms to make sure everybody has equal opportunity to learn and thrive, right? That's the real problem, is we've been segregating resources away from the needs instead of making sure that we're providing for them. And almost everything about the way Wisconsin does public schools is set up that way. I mean, it is deeply broken, like at, in kind of a fundamental way. And that's before you even add the politics on top. But when you do add those politics on top, you hear all the dog whistles, you know, the overtly racist comments that people make about who deserves what and why. And we see disproportionately around the state that students in poverty, students who are English language learners, and students with disabilities are most disproportionately served by this entire system. And, you know, guess what group of kids is like overwhelmingly represented in all of these categories? It's Black and brown kids, right? And so, this is a problem that the state needs to reckon honestly with. And we need as many people as possible who really believe in a Wisconsin where every single kid has equal opportunity to thrive to stand up and say, let's just stop this cycle now. We are in a surplus situation here where we actually have the means to like set things right for a change. Like, why on earth wouldn't we do it? Why do you want to keep being the worst when we could like take a turn toward better? You know, that's the decision our lawmakers have to make right now. And if you're just tuning in, you've tuned in at a good time, because this is one of the few points in our calendar year where we actually have an opportunity to make a difference. And if we don't speak up, they're going to think we don't care.
Yeah.
Call your state assembly persons, call your state senators and say, listen, you locked in the school's funding formula in 1994, it ain't working anymore. Properly fund your public schools. The richest of people in Wisconsin don't need more tax cuts. Why don't you put that on the table? I'll always be pro working people tax cuts. But listen, what benefits all of us, business owners to regular people alike, are robust public school systems. Mm-hmm. That dollars spent invested in public school has an incredible return on investment for taxpayers. That's not to say that MPS and its fiscal irresponsibility and lack of transparency should not be vigorously criticized, that we shouldn't be demanding better. Of course we should. Mm-hmm. And yet the solution isn't to drain all of the money out of public schools and go, exactly. Oh, gee whiz, I wonder why they're not performing well. It's fiscal accountability, yes. It's results accountability, yes. It's also not about defunding. Ladies, before we got on the air, and I wanted to get this in because it's a little lengthy, there is reporting today from the New York Times that there is a provision in the House Republican budget bill that would provide somewhere in the ballpark of some $5 billion for private religious education, homeschooling. It's effectively a federalized voucher program. Instead of leaving schools and education to the states, which they seem to be saying everywhere else, including their justification for dismantling the Department of Education, which will disproportionately hurt Black and brown kids and every child with an IEP across the country, of course. But while they're saying that, they're saying, oh, but we're going to force vouchers into every community in every state, and we're going to have taxpayers pay for them. Now, I was an early advocate of choice in the Milwaukee public school system because I personally believe that funding public schools based on property tax is a way to project forward into the future the completely abhorrent legacy of racism and housing and redlining. It's stupid as a funding basis. That said, the way that vouchers operate today operate in a way that was contrary to their intended original purpose. And this proposal from Republicans in the House would further that damage. And oh yes, we have an example in US history where this has occurred before. Would it surprise any of you to hear that the first place we saw vouchers, and vouchers that paid for both secular but also religious education, was immediately following Brown v. Board of Education throughout the South? The voucher system was created, invented, if you will, in the South to create all-white private segregation academies. It's how they got around Brown v. Board of Education. Princeton social scientist Catherine Eden has written extensively about that. I read a lot of her work, and I wanted to share something that she wrote about that I think makes what is going on now about as clear as it possibly can be. That all of this nonsense about wokeism and CRT is a smokescreen to enable the transfer of taxpayer dollars into the hands of the wealthiest and the already privileged and, oh, let's be clear, white folks. Let's read. This is from Catherine Eden in a piece that she wrote for the Daily Beast in 2023. She references the fact that in 1964, the Mississippi legislature created a new voucher program for students that wanted to attend non-religious private schools. Immediately, what happened was three schools popped up. They were all white segregation academies. Hoping to encourage the creation of more of these schools, the White Citizens Council, yeah, White Citizens Council, those are white supremacist racists in 1964. The White Citizens Council wrote in its newsletter to parents and offered up instructions of how to expand voucher programs across the South, not just in Mississippi. Here's what was written in their newsletter in 1964. This is by white supremacist racists in 1964 in response to Brown v. Board. Quote, parents want their children to be raised and educated free from the tensions of racial conflict in the classroom, free from the frustrating drag of mass mediocrity, and free from the blight of self-styled progressive educators whose avowed aim is to turn young Americans from the established inheritance of their fathers to alien theories of collectivism and anti-white racism. It sounds like what the Moms for Liberty say every day. It sounds like the talking points of J.D. Vance, Donald Trump, and the lot of them. Angela, when you hear this, and in the context of this discussion, what do you hope, say, a swing voter or someone in one of the more rural districts in Wisconsin can hear and connect to so that we can make better decisions together?
Yeah, I mean, I want people to really think about the quality of education that every child deserves. And I say this loud and proud. I'm a strong, proud Milwaukee Public Schools graduate, right? And the thing that I say is I want everyone to have the same education and opportunities the way that I did, because there is no way I would even be here with you all having this type of analysis if I didn't have teachers that supported me. And, you know, I think specifically in the Black community, charter vouchers can be a touchy situation. And, you know, people are like, well, I want the best for my child. I'm pro public schools, but I want the best for my child. And public schools are being defunded, so I feel like I have to make this other choice. And I think that's something that we need to continue to talk to folks to really explain, though, however, that if people want to have to homeschool their kids or put their school or their kid in a religious school, that is their choice, but it should not absolutely come at the expense of public schools, which are predominantly Black and Brown. Like, I'm always wondering, is there a world where multiple things can coexist?
The doctrine of false choice, part of that BS that gets